I say, great. You know as well, there's hard nights. There's nights you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep. You're like, oh, this isn't going my way, or that's not going my way. But the one thing that doesn't change is I do have, and part of it's my faith, big part of it. But I just have this optimism, like, we'll figure it out. Like, we will figure it out. And anything can be overcome, right? I mean, I got my butt absolutely whipped. And I,
you know, I find, forgive me for interrupting you, I think that's one of the strongest things that you've said, because I think people resonate with that. Like, we'll figure it out. I think that your customers, your supporters, your employees, when they realize you have that mindset of like, it'll be okay, we'll work it out. Right. They're willing to give grace. They're willing to help. There's something that's drawn out of people.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Ready to execute. Roger.
Hi, John. I'm Mara. Nice to meet you.
I'm Mara.
Virtually, yes, I should say, not in person, because we're going to be meeting in person in 2 weeks. But
yeah,
very excited to meet you. How are you today?
Yeah, thank you. I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. So I got the opportunity to hear about you a little bit prior to even getting your bio, right? Lisa Furman gave me a little information, a little background on you, which was very exciting, right? As an entrepreneur myself, I love meeting other entrepreneurs that are really killing it. So I'm really impressed, especially because you're killing it in the aerospace world, which is a place where I have zero knowledge. So you're going to have to treat me like a two-year-old when we talk about it. One of the things I wanted to kind of bring to light was this amazing background you have in the military, because you graduated from, let's let you take it.
Yeah, I graduated from Texas A&M in 1990. I grew up as a kid. I always wanted to be in the military. At nine, my stepdad was a Air Force guy, and he flew in the back of a bunch of airplanes. He was a backseat guy. And anyway, I was like, oh, I want to wear green flight suits like those guys. So I'm the guy that got to live his boyhood dream, because from the time I was nine, I was like, man, I want to be a military pilot. And I was the only person in my family to become a Marine. Everybody else was Air Force or Army, but the Marine Corps had a great program, still does, to become an aviator. So anyway, did that, was an aviator, and then became a test pilot. And I didn't know about test pilots till I was in the Marine Corps, and I was like, wow, that sounds really awesome. I was an engineering major, and so they want you to have a technical degree. Got to do that. That was super awesome. And then I'd been away from the fleet a long time. I graduated from test pilot school in 2000, and then you have to do a 3-year payback. And so at that point, I'm in like 13 years, and the monitor, the person who writes our orders, said, you got to go to a desk job. And I was like, no, it's all I'd done was fly for 13 years. And every aviator's dream. And so I had to go to this desk job, which then was not good for my career. And in that time, the Marine Corps created an acquisition professional MOS. They wanted guys to stay in that space. And so that's how really you and I are talking, because that MOS got created. And I felt like that was my best chance to, I knew I was going to stay in, but that was my best chance to probably make rank and not be a major forever, which isn't bad, but it's not what I wanted. It was, I had just different dreams. And so anyway, it worked out. I got to command a squadron. I actually deployed in Iraq for 7 months, which was, I mean, it's good because all my buddies were going and I was kind of back as an acquisition guy. And then I got into a billet where I was able to go be with them and be a part of the fight. And, and then I retired as a 06. I was fortunate to make colonel, and all of that stuff set me up for where I am today. But there's some interesting twists in there. We'll see where the conversation goes.
Well, I was going to ask you, I want to know about those interesting twists. I know you have what I think is pretty amazing, what, like 5,000 hours of test piloting. And how many different planes have you actually...
I got to fly 59 different airplanes, so there's a lot, right? Which is, again, like the whole test pilot thing, test pilot school, you fly a whole bunch. I don't know if they still do that, but back when I was there, it was awesome. It's like Pilots Disneyland. It was so fun.
I love that. That's a good analogy. Pilots Disneyland.
It was just like rides everywhere. It was just great. And but it was challenging too. It was the hardest school I ever did. It's a year long, and the joke there at the Navy test pilot school is half a day is academics, half a day of flying, and then half a day of writing. And obviously that math doesn't work.
The math wasn't mathing on that for me.
Yeah. The So it's super hard, and it's, you know, super technical. You're doing calculus again. You're doing all this stuff. And, but I learned a lot of things in that school, and being a test pilot, I learned how to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, that's a very important skill.
Which really is for entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah, like, particularly.
I tell guys and gals, like, I want to be, you know, they watch a lot of Instagram. They're like, I want to be in business for myself. I'm like, you ready to just be get the snot beat out of you? Because that's what's going to be like.
Well, it's funny because I say that all the time, because people are like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be my own boss because I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I want to have my free time when I want to have my free time. I'm like, I don't think so. It doesn't really work that way. That's a fallacy. There's no such thing as work-life balance.
Yeah.
So
what I tell people on that is balance for everybody is different. Like,
correct.
Your balance and my balance are totally different. It can be, hey, I'm at the life stage where I got two grandkids and my youngest is 18, like, and he plays hockey away. He's a hockey player. And so I don't have any kids at home. My wife and I, it's just the two of us, right? So,
right.
You know, we've been married 35 years next month. But we talk a lot, but there's also a lot of, we just sit in the same room and, you know, I'm doing my thing and she's doing hers. So right. If I'm doing work, you know, it's fine, right? Like, that's, I don't expect the guy with the young family to be doing work at 8 o'clock. So anyway, work-life balance, I think, is very, it's an interesting concept, but I'm always big, hey, that's an individual thing. And I think you make a very good point
that it's individual. I think where I'm kind of thinking is, so many times, like you said, people see something on Instagram or they hear that you have now 800 teammates, right? Is that what you've got right now?
600. You got 600 people.
600 teammates. That's a large organization, right?
A big company.
Your revenue is probably through the roof, but it took you a while to get there. It didn't happen like a startup, right? It didn't happen overnight. And I think that everybody expects it, or they want it. It's really not expect. They want it overnight. They want, I'm going to just start a business. It's going to be successful. I'm going to have all this work life. Like, I just don't know where that policy came from.
Yeah. I think it's social media contributes to it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, again, my story, it didn't go great. Like, it actually went bad. I tried a retail operation with my brother-in-law and we got absolutely smoked. I lost.
Oh, tell me about that. What kind of retail?
It was a dry cleaning operation.
Okay.
And the whole thing was, we had vans, we bought an existing thing. There was a franchise involved. And then we had home delivery and office delivery. Basically, instead of you driving to the dry cleaner to drop off and get your stuff, it was take it to you, right? Take that away. Looked amazing on paper. The numbers worked.
But converting
a spreadsheet to reality and turning it into revenue and controlling expenses is freaking hard. Like, anybody can make a spreadsheet.
I was just going to say that labor costs on that sounds astronomical.
Again, you're selling your products at what, $1.89? The high end, you're selling $1.89. What happened was we overpaid for one of the core businesses. We overpaid for it. And the deal wasn't big enough to warrant a quality of earnings, but I should have spent the money on one and we would have figured out there was probably fraud in there. The guy was misrepresenting his numbers, which once you figure that out after closing and things aren't going well, the legal cost, it just wasn't, you know, it was one of those deals where it's not worth it. And then I didn't really understand the P&L. And so I had a bunch of costs that were fixed. And hey, if this number up here moves by a lot, like, you're hosed. And so anyway, it went bad. Like, I weighed 218 today. I weighed 176 from stress. My fighting weight in the Marine Corps was like 195. And I'm not a fat guy now. It's just I'm actually much stronger. I work out totally different than I used to in the Marine Corps. But my point is 176 from stress. I mean, like you said, like, people think, oh, I'm going to be my own boss and everything else. Like, dude, man, I couldn't sleep. I'm like, holy smokes, I don't even know. I'm in the back putting plastic over shirts, right?
Because you're doing it yourself to make sure it gets done and all that.
That's kind of stuff. Yeah. Gotta make it try to go. And so finally a guy from church actually was like, hey, do you have cancer or something, man? Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, because I didn't want to talk. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell people I was failing.
Right.
And it actually took a long time for me to get to where I could have this conversation and not feel shame about it. I do want to say to people who are listening to this eventually or whatever, like, hey, there's no shame in failure. It's really not, right? Like, you had the courage to go for it. And a lot of people don't. And most successful people had failures. Most of them. There's a couple unicorns around, right, that hit it and it just goes kabang. But man, I'm not a unicorn. It didn't go kabang.
Me neither. It didn't go kabang for me either first time around.
It was not good. And so actually what, so I end up unloading the business for pennies on the dollar, have a big freaking debt load that I got a, that I promised everybody and signed papers that I'll take care of it. I'm not declaring bankruptcy. I go to work for Raytheon for what ends up being six months. Thought that was going to be my plight the rest of my life. I'm in there all of 6 months. At 5.5 months, I get offered a promotion with no change in pay and a ton of responsibility increase. And I told my wife, I'm like, because then their answer to me was, you haven't been here long enough. That's why you can't get the pay raise. And I thought,
then don't give me the responsibility. I mean, it's simple. If I'm not worth the pay raise. Yeah.
That sounds like the military, where no matter how good I am, I got to wait till my time and grade's right and I come up for promotion.
Yeah.
And that was fine in that context. It is what it is. But I'm like, not in chapter two, man. No way. So my wife was kind enough to say, yeah, I believe in you and you can try again. Because I was like, you got to let me try one more time. I have to see if I can be successful and not, you know, I don't want to be laying on my deathbed wondering what if.
Because that's the worst regret you can have. That's the worst regret you can have.
Yeah. So 3 years solo, just trying to make it go from August of 15 to August of 18. Then I got a second employee. I got a little bit more momentum. I bought a little small. I got a contract of 6 people. I actually acquired that through a minor acquisition. I got some people to front me the money so I could get that. Finished 2018 with 10 people and 525K in revenue. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to the moon, man. We're going to make a million next year. And we did 3 million the next year. And then we did 9.8 the year after that.
Exponential growth. You're doing really well.
We might actually have something here.
Yeah.
And so COVID happens and that we tripled during the COVID time.
Did you? That's a rarity. Yeah, that's a rarity. Yeah,
again, part of it is the industry I'm in, right? Like there was it's considered essential. And so we were still going to work and getting stuff done and winning things. And so we got to, by the end of there, we were about 80 people. And then I was reading a book called Buy and Build. And I thought, man, I'm getting older and older. Well, so let me go back. When I failed, right, I decided then that I was going to take the colonel and put him in the closet and just mentally just go to this point where, like, hey, at the time, I'm like, I'm a 22-year-old businessman in a 46-year-old man's body. I don't know anything. I thought I did. I thought I was pretty smart. And I am a smart guy, but I was not wise about the ways of business, right? And so I said, hey, I gotta go to school. And I had an MBA. I'd done a night school MBA thing, and the thing was, it just wasn't practical. I needed practical business stuff. And so I started reading everything I could. I read everything Warren Buffett ever wrote, all kinds of business stories. I'm a big reader anyway, but I taught myself bookkeeping. I started studying how banks think, all of these things, and just really became a voracious student of business, if you will, while we're growing this thing. So anyway, that was the mentality of the 22-year-old businessman in a 46-year-old man's body. So today at 57, you know, I say I'm a 33-year-old businessman in a 57-year-old man's body. And I do that intentionally to keep, you know, you should never think too highly of yourself, right? And just always remember, like, that 24 years in the Marine Corps gave me a lot of leadership skills and maturity and experience, but there's still a lot I have left to learn. And especially in the complicated worlds of finance and how to do things like that, right? So I try to keep a very youthful mindset around learning and doing all that. So I'm figuring, like, hey, I'm getting old. Buy and build, man. That's how we get to. Because I'm like, I decided I want to build the next Sierra Nevada Corporation. That's really which is one of the largest privately held defense contractors in the country. I didn't want to build this thing to flip it. I want to build it for my grandson, who's 3, to sit on the board one day.
Right.
And, you know, maybe nobody in the family runs it, but that's kind of how my thinking is. Because having been the customers and acquisition guy, I think the industry, the defense industry, would benefit from people that want to hold on to them for longer, because then you're a little bit more
vested,
price sensitive. Oh. Well, you're price sensitive. You have that long win mindset.
Long
instead of like, I got to get a fast return because I invested all this money and I need 3 years. I got to exit it and get 22% or whatever. Yeah. That drives behavior. Not always bad, but it can be bad. Right. And the taxpayer, I think, would benefit from more privately held businesses that have a long-term view in the industry. So So anyway, that was my, and all of that came out of getting my butt kicked, right? Like that wasn't the view originally. And, so it's been a great 10 and a half years. I say great. You know as well. There's hard nights. There's nights you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't sleep. You're like, ah, oh, this isn't going my way or that's not going my way. But the one thing that doesn't change is I do have, and part of it's my faith, big part of it. But I just have this optimism, like, we'll figure it out. Like, we will figure it out. And anything can be overcome, right? I mean, I got my butt absolutely whipped.
You know, I think that's one of the strongest things that you've said, because I think people resonate with that. Like, we'll figure it out. I think that your customers, your supporters, your employees, when they realize you have that mindset of like, it'll be okay. We'll work it out. They're willing to give grace. They're willing to help. There's something that's drawn out of people versus that which you don't have at all, which is that ego thing. You know, that like, I was and I've done. And, you know, I'm very resistant to that. That's one of the tenets, really, in some ways, of Military CreatorCon is, you know, you come with you know, no facade, no pretense. You just are. What you've done is what you've done. Where you're at is where you're at. You don't know what you don't know. Like, and we collaborate and help each other, right? So I love that about you, because I think you embody what we hope to share with the rest of the community. So I'm super glad you're coming. I love that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you to say that.
No, this is totally good. This should be a conversation, not a one-way monologue.
No, it's perfect. I love it. I love that we're sharing. What you're sharing with people is gems, very absolute truths that are very important. And I'm super excited you're going to be on this panel at Military CreatorCon talking about deploying entrepreneurship, because I think, you know, there's a lot of, I think, things that people think about being an entrepreneur or want to know about being an entrepreneur, that you are going have all this great experience, and everybody has different experience, like you said, like everybody has different experience, so they bring different things to the table. But there are, I think, fewer and more far between people like you that really kind of have a scope of understanding that helps more transitioning actives or older veterans, like my husband, for instance, who would be like, you know, I never thought about doing it that way. That's a great, something I need to absorb and take in. I love that.
Well, you know, the Bible says don't think too highly of yourself. That's the one, like I, you know, and probably one of the larger dangers. The story is cool, but I try not to like the story too much, to be honest.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let me like it then.
I mean, just this whole story, this thing called Albers Aerospace, right?
The story. I thought you were having another story. I'm sorry.
No.
Like, okay.
If I step back, like, man, that's a pretty cool story. Look what God did. And I talk about that because it's not just me. It's our teammates, right? I mean, it was me for 3 years by myself, right? And then, you know, those first few years, like a lot of entrepreneurial ventures, even when you get people around you, you know, even your best supporters, nobody thinks about the business like the owner.
Right. Nobody gives a rat's ass about it as much as the owner.
They really don't, right? Mm-hmm. They don't, no matter how hard you try, equity incentives, whatever, like they just don't. And it took me a while to get to that reality. Like at first it's frustrating. Like, why can't you think like an owner? Like, they love having a piece of the ownership, and they do in a way think like that, but they're never going to think the same way as you, who's like all in, right? Like all my chips are in on this deal. The ships are burned. I got no escape, man.
Right.
And so, So, I mean, I think, you know, back to your, like when we started this chat about work-life balance and like, hey, I'm going to have all this time and be able to do whatever I want to do. Like, no, dude, the business owns you.
Yep.
you own the business. Yep. You know, I'm the majority owner, but the truth is the business owns me. It demands things from me. Mm-hmm. And I say that in the right way, not like a demanding, like you got to give me this. It demands things of me that, because for it to grow and be what I want it to be, I have to do things. I got to show up.
You got to feed it. You've got to. Yes. I say it's got a life of its own. It is its own. Absolutely. Entity. It's got a life of its own. And in some ways, you kind of just work for it. Let's be real. Yeah. You know, that's what I say, because that's how my, as you know, my background, as you know, that and depending on the phase you're in the business too. But
that's right.
It's really like it's got a life of its own.
It's got a life of its own. Yes.
And if you don't feed it, give it oxygen, do the things it needs to do. In a timely fashion, which is always thing. I'm always like, look, learn to see the down pipeline quickly, because it'll save you a lot of time and a lot of money. You know, pivot sooner than later. Like, if you see it happening, don't wait for it to happen. That's good. You're exactly right. I wanted to know about one of the crazier things that happened in your life in general, whether it's now during your current iteration or in your past more military time, something kind of crazy that you'd be like, I can't believe this happened to me.
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, that business fall apart was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
I can remember. I mean, you've been to a dry cleaner shop, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I really everything I owned for a time when I was wealthy was all dry clean.
So,
I didn't use a washing machine at all.
You think of hot. I mean, this is Texas. You think hot steam coming out of there, like,
sounds
frankly
awful.
Not so good conditions. I'm in there. It's like September of 2014. I'm in the back pulling plastic over someone else's shirts and thinking to my it had already like started to crash, and I'm borrowing more money to try to fix it. And I remember pulling that. I can see it right now. Like, I'm standing there at the little what do they call that overhead conveyor, and I'm putting plastic over and checking the order ticket to make sure that we didn't lose somebody's shirt. Pulling plastic over, and I thought, what in the F have I done? I 2 months ago I walked into a room and people stood up because the colonel walked in, and now I'm sweating my hoorahs off, losing money I don't even have.
Day after day, minute after
day
minute.
Day after day hardworking people, right? There was people working in the back to make their wage. I mean, they're hardworking people. But I was like, what have I done, man? And how did I get here? And then now I watched the series Mad Men.
Yes.
On Netflix. I watched
I
watched that whole series in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep. I would lay in my closet because I didn't want to disturb my wife.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
But now, I mean, there's now where I'm like, I tell our team like all the time, I'm like, hey guys, we're living in a movie, man. We are living in a movie. And I don't want to forget the wonder of that, right? Like, this is crazy, man. It's crazy. Like, the 600 people, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was a broke dry cleaner 11 years ago.
It's awesome. You know? That's a great story.
Oh, and so, those are a couple of those. I mean, I had, when I was in the service, I got to fly a bunch of different stuff. I didn't have any like total. Test piloting is fun. Test piloting is like moments. Long periods of utter boredom and nerdery.
Really? I would think it would be a little
spikes of excitement. Momentary spikes of excitement.
Scary. Wouldn't it be scary? Like, you're flying something relatively new, right? Am I understanding? I mean, I'm
You're right. A civilian, but it's not scary. They teach you. I mean, again, you got this insane mindset anyway, right? Mm. That you're
invincible, aren't you? As a test pilot?
No. But you think, you do have this like, it won't happen to me. Sorry, that thing keeps going. Let me try to mute that daggum thing. Now everybody's going to talk to me. How do I do that?
They're all like, ooh, hey, you're talking. Boop, boop.
Yeah. Forgive me there.
No worries.
The, mute conversation. How do I do that? Hide alerts. Maybe that's,
So you were saying lots of boredom first.
Yeah. Because okay, that's so most people think like, it's super, like, again, I told you, we were studying calculus and everything. You're going out to collect data, you're putting the airplane in just the right, this airspeed, this attitude, this roll, whatever. there's a lot, and then you sit there so they can collect the data. There's a lot of it that is actually boring.
I didn't think of that.
And then, but then sometimes things go wrong. And so that's the momentary spike of excitement, right? But there's also, it depends too on what kind of flight test it is. If it's high G stuff, that's pretty exciting. But there's lots of things where it's just kind of boring. And
it's funny. I would never have thought that. I have to be fair. I think of those spikes as being like constant. You know, you're pushing those limits, and you know, you're thinking, yeah. That's not going to happen to me. But it's kind of good to know, because it's good to know that everything that we all do, somebody, like there's that terrible expression. Oh my gosh, I hope this isn't offensive in some way. Give me any beautiful girl from Cindy Crawford to whoever is the prettiest one today. Somebody's tired of being her boyfriend. Mm. Right. Mm. So like, it's, you know, like, it's just,
yeah. It's true.
It's just, I mean, ordinary, yeah. Like day. Everybody does the same stuff, things. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different, yeah. I mean, it's different context and then there's training and, all those things that go in. Right. And again, I try really hard, to mentally find the wonder, find the, so my wife and I, our boys were all, we have four kids, daughter and three boys. The three boys all played ice hockey. We ended up in a scenario where we had a second home that we rented up north while they were going to an academy, and we would take other kids in and we were billet parents, you know, they would live with us and
while they were
at the academy. And I mean, really cool experience to have these other kids in your home and be sort of a part of a family for them, right? Whether at this hockey school, it happens, there's a lot of that in the hockey space. And but my thing when I was there, so she was up there doing that, I was here, I would go up 1 week a month and work remote. Because like we were talking about, I had to be where the business is, right? Like, yeah, I'm the boss. And that was my wife. She's like, well, you're the boss. Can't you figure it out? I'm like, yeah, I can figure it out. Like, I'm there. You're here if that's what you want. And like, I'll come up here 1 week a month. So I was a GO. We did that for 6 years.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. But it was such a, I mean, it helped us, you know, stay, not get bored with each other because we wouldn't see each other all the time.
Right.
And we worked really hard on our relationship. And then our youngest was 6 years younger than our number three. So there was this long gap. That's really what drove it. And so anyway, my point was when we would have those boys in our home, billet, we were billet parents. When I was there, she would eventually start doing it when I wasn't. But yet we would do it at night at dinner. Everybody would go around and give a high and a low. And the rule was you didn't have to have a low, but you had to have a high. So if your day sucked, let's find the high of the day. Because we're not going to bed defeated. We're going to find one thing we can say, hey, man, I won here. And so, because these are all young kids, like they're 16 to 18. They dream of being a NHL guy.
Right.
One in 50 might make it.
Right.
And they're fighting like crazy, just like all of us entrepreneurs are, to get there. They want the, you know, I want the spot on the roster and like, and they got to perform every day, right? Like, are they doing the systems right and all this stuff? And so there's times where these kids and they were all good and they get, and now they're all with a whole bunch of other kids that are good and it ain't going so great because where they used to be Johnny King Kong, now they're like number three or four.
Right.
And it's,
right.
And my thing was like, find the high in the day, boys. You got to find the high, man. You don't have to have a low, but you have to have a high. And I think it's a life skill that because again, you have the same thing, man. Even
it's
now,
funny, I was going to tell you, we play that game here with the kids. Like, they're not my kids. I'm like Aunt Mara, but we sit at the dinner table and we do, what was your high today? What was your low? And how did you feel loved? So we have three. So then if nothing else, you felt loved, but you know, like it's awesome. I think it's a great little game. I love it. The kids here are 10 and 6. So we're starting them early to think that
That's great. I love it.
It's awesome. Yeah. Right. I am so grateful.
I know
grateful.
We're behind schedule. So,
what?
I said, I think we're behind schedule.
We are a little bit, but you were so fascinating to me. I couldn't get off. So I'm just saying, but I want to thank you for being a part of Military CreatorCon, for being with me today, and tell people if they want to know more about your amazing journey, come to Military CreatorCon, buy a ticket, be in the room so you get to learn more.
That's right. It'll be amazing. And I so appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about what God's doing in my life. And if I can be an encouragement to others, I'd love to. And it's super fun. Thanks to you for all you're doing, and congratulations on your own success.
Thank you so much. Nice to have some time with you.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great X, you. Roger.